Yeah. Okay. So that question again.
That's a technical question. How do you implement the 90-second limit? It's not working.
This gentleman over here is a timekeeper.
He's sitting over there. Nobody can see him. He waves his hand. Nobody.
Well, it just started and it didn't work. So we're going to keep on with it. Okay. Ms. Webster, did that come up that?
All right. Very quickly, because I only have 90 seconds, I want to promise you I have no answers. I know we've been told we're supposed to be providing you with answers, but believe me, nobody's given me any. I question the whole concept of confidentiality that's occurred around this with the excuse that it's about eliminating positions. That perhaps should have been confidential, but there's a whole range of other issues that should have been discussed openly. I have asked the PNB repeatedly several questions. I have asked that the chair of the National Finance Committee appear on the airwaves. All I have gotten back is silence. Some of the questions include, why $1 million note on a building worth much more? Why 30 years to pay out? How will listeners from other stations be compelled to contribute to this? What alternatives were considered? After all, this is $50 from each of our listener sponsors here at Pay. It's not that much spread over five stations.
Thank you.
Bottom line is here, nobody has answered those questions. As regards the consulting firm, this is going to be about financial growth at a time we should be cutting back. We're going to have national must-carries, we're going to have national news, we're going to have national branding, because that's what our financial consulting firm does, is it looks for revenue generation instead of cutting back, slimming back in these economic hard times. Underwriting. Good God. Talk about NPR Life. It's time. Thank you. We haven't been able to raise money from nonprofits in the past. I don't see why we'd be able to do it with underwriting now.
Thank you so much. Please give us those numbers. Before you do that, I want to ask some of the questions. Some of the questions you asked, I have the answers to. One of the questions that you had asked me to ask was, it a loan or a line of credit? It is, in fact, a loan. Why did they the building for the KPFK building?
Mm-hmm.
And what the chair of the PNB told me was that they had considered others, but apparently the building that we have, our building, was more valuable. And that was the reason that you came.
Location.
So it was more vulnerable to being foreclosed on.
I think it was more valuable, so they knew it would be easier to get the money they were trying to get with that building.
Because it would be easier to be foreclosed.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah. And also, someone asked whether it was a short-term loan or whether it was 30 years. She said it is, in fact, what they are proposing is a 30-year loan.
For $1 million, one fund drive.
Also, the other question, Ms. Blood, I think, wants to know, has the 50th been canceled? And were we not doing a celebration? And it was no, right?
It hasn't been canceled.
It hasn't been canceled.
What's the question?
Whether the 50th anniversary for KPFK has been canceled because of our shortage in funds? And the answer to the response was no. Someone else asked what were the obligations of the other stations? And she said all stations?
All stations will take, are responsible in this, and not equally because some of them are off on others. But it's a network responsibility.
Okay.
And how will that be enforced?
Pardon?
How will that be enforced?
Enforced? I didn't ask you that question.
Okay, so we have no guarantee that it won't fall on our listener sponsor.
Ms. Blockman, you're
This is just for 2007 from their audit report, and while we talk, I'll go back to 2006-5-4 and give you the aggregate. But in 2007, as of September 30th, 2007, our legal expenses were $199,000 for the year, and our settlement expenses were $150,000 for a total of $350,000 effectively. That's the whole network, and that's against the total budget of $16.96 million. So 2.05% of the total budget went to legal fees and settlement fees in 2007. Now, I don't know how that changed this year, but I don't know how much it was. And I'll go back a few years and have to get this aggregate, but that's ballpark. I don't think it was double in 2008, so we're still in that region.
Thank you. Mr. Townsend, how much more time do we have on Monday?
We have three minutes.
We're supposed to extend for 30 minutes.
But no.
We're going to have a time 30 minutes for GM. The general manager is on his way. He is here. What time is it now?
We have a long line of listeners. Now, we have a long line of listeners. I was told and I asked to pass until a little while. So you definitely can, but I just want to make a mistake.
We have you, Mr. Boyer, and Mr. Condon on our list, and we have about 10 of these people that haven't spoken at all. So keep that in mind when you guys are talking. Thank you.
I want to echo David Adelson's statements, and also that there's always a war that's going on inside of Pacifica, and it breaks down along different lines depending on what the issue is. But terminally, what we have is two classes that comprise Pacifica. We have staff, and we have listeners. And the listeners don't really necessarily all realize that. And staff has direct geographic pressure that they're allowed to apply to any general manager at any station. So they always end up getting what they want, and that is more money, their friends to get shows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, where outsiders do not have
these
that.
Remarks on the part of the staff are really
uncalled for.
As a staff representative, I got to say,
I didn't mention anyone.
What's wrong with the truth?
I'm sorry, gentlemen. I will handle this. I thank you for your help, but I will handle it. Okay.
Yeah.
Please do.
Thank you. I'll just go towards my short preface and then my motion. In light of the resignation of Pacifica's executive director and stalemate factionalism on the national board, Pacifica finds itself with crisis-level budget shortfalls and an application in process for $1 million mortgage collateralizing KPFK's building. This is not a solution, has resulted in a chaotic blame game and even broader geographic and ideological factionalism throughout the network, with some station staff calling for the sale of another station's frequency rather than their building being mortgaged, board members suggesting bankruptcy might not be so bad, and others suggesting Pacifica begin to accept underwriting and hire professional financial consultants rather than an executive director as called for in the bylaws. My motion is, noting the Pacifica statement clause that Pacifica, quote, shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible, end quote, the KPFK LSD requests that in the absence of an executive director, all five Pacifica station managers coordinate with each other to hold an immediate emergency on-air mini-fund drive to raise the financial shortfalls via Pacifica's traditional founding revenue generation method in accordance with its mission, rather than incur liabilities to the foundation by mortgaging or selling any station assets.
I would like to, I am totally in favor of the action item and the motion itself.
Right.
I think that the invective and some statements in the first paragraph, which may not be true, should be struck from the motion.
Let the chair control of the debate so the people who step in most aggressively don't dominate it. Pass that motion out. Right now, actually, we have Mr. Boyer to speak on this first.
Well, we need to keep in mind always we're running a radio station and radio network, not a political party or some semi-religious cult or private cabal. And I'm not being just satirical, I'm being literal. We've always had problems, we've always had factions, but when mentalities are so shaped by non-relevant issues to running a radio station and a network, this caused a lot of problems. We have really a dysfunctional board nationally and locally. I'm not saying about everybody's bad. I'm saying it's dysfunctional organizationally, and that's reflected in the management of the network. This needs to be addressed, and I think for that purpose, we need to have some outside consulting intervention, which is not the same thing as turning over the network to a consultant to run. It's simply how to have better meetings, how to have better consensual agreements, how to run an operation which on the one hand is a movement kind of operation at one level, and yet it's a non-profit legal foundation at another level, and these two have never been reconciled. Never been reconciled.
Point of order.
Yes.
There's a motion on the floor which has been seconded. People are speaking to and against the motion.
In addition to what I said, I still favor this particular motion minus the preparatory verbiage.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor.
I'd like to amend.
What is information? There's a motion on the floor. You would like to construct a preference on this motion
and just
go with the motion.
A motion?
Yeah, and it is a motion.
I just want to log in. We vote for this. We're not voting for this.
We're just voting for the motion alone. Before we take this vote, could you read the motion once more, please? And for our listeners.
Noting the mission statement clause that Pacifica shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible, the KPFK LSD requests that, in the absence of an executive director, all five Pacifica station managers coordinate with each other to hold an immediate emergency on-air mini fund drive to raise the financial shortfalls via Pacifica's traditional founding revenue generation method in accordance with its mission, rather than incur liability to the foundation by mortgaging or selling any station assets.
I'd just like to say, last time Tracy made a motion that I recall, it was for a fundraiser which was very successful. So maybe this would be successful. But I have a substitute motion that the preface be struck for the minute. A motion is
is there a second?
No,
sure. There is a second. Any objection?
Point one.
All those in favor?
The motion is only a motion. The preface is not part of it.
So what we're doing is we're doing this. A motion is on the floor, and a motion only is on the floor, and we're dealing with this motion right now, okay?
Yes.
I understand, but that's not the point. The point is we're voting on the motion, okay? Now, that's what we're dealing with.
Tom, what is in here?
Yes, exactly. Before we vote, we will take some comments from the audience, of course.
Point of order.
Yes.
If we have a 3 o'clock concert with the GM, I believe we should go to that and then go to listener comments on the motion before we take a vote.
Sounds very good to me. I think we do have 2 minutes before we have to actually have our GM time service. Before we actually vote on this, we will have some comments and questions from the audience. So I think we should stop now, take the GM, and then we'll come back to this, and then we'll deal with your input.
Motion to postpone.
Is on the floor until after the GM report. Any objection? Is there a second to that?
Second.
Any objection? And we are very happy to have our general manager, Mr. Sean Heitkamp, here, and we're very glad that you guys came out. So, Mr. Heitkamp, the floor is yours. It is Heitkamp. You also, as much as we'd like to hear a lot from you, we've got time frame of 3 o'clock, and hopefully we can deal with your report as well as the Q&A in 20 minutes. Thank you.
Not a problem.
Mr. Heitkamp.
Thank you.
Having to do legal plus settlement together. 2002, $2.85 percent. 2003, $415,000 or 2.09 percent. 2004, $315,000 or 2.09 percent. 2005, the year, $180,000 for 1.15 percent. 2006, $377,000. Excuse me, $508,000. 2007 for legal, $131 per settlement in 2005. That was 3.15 percent. 2007 was $199,000 legal, $150,000 settlement for a total of $350,000 or 2.06 percent.
So our low year, our best year was 1.15 percent. Our worst year was 2003 at 3.38%, 2006 was 3.15%, last year was a relatively good year, but only
$350,000.
What is that?
Total in aggregate.
In 2007, I don't know what OA was, but that's legal plus settlement, and I'm stressing it, but the percent of total functional expenses network-wide.
I'm sorry, we have time certain. That time is now. We'll get back to that on the thing.
Mr. Chair.
Rico?
Yes.
And before the GM starts his report, during his report, I had made a request in the last meeting that you submit a comparison in terms of the organizational structure with the staff that had been reduced in terms of the responsibilities, and now with the staff that we had, how was the organizational structure for the station was going to be run, but it's not attached.
I must have misunderstood that that was required to be here today.
Or an email. I mean, you are talking about the function of a station and how do we expect the station to function with certain staff that's no longer there. I would hope that in the next meeting it would be in writing. Thank you.
Again, for those of you who have been waiting to ask questions, I thank you for your patience, and we haven't forgotten. Listen.
For the information while I was writing, it would be nice if the station manager would have made enough copies for the listeners also.
Point of information.
Yes.
The listener may be unaware that this is a, I would almost say, unprecedented number of people here. In the past, we've had less. So the listener may be unaware, and the manager may have been unprepared to the volume of turnout. Thank you for that, Mr. Johnson.
All right. I'm here to address 4 points, immediate things that we're looking at and need to be addressed. We're currently in our final month of the year and involved in an end-of-the-year giving campaign to sustain the station, which includes 4 or 5 different elements. On-air spots for fulfillment. On-air, we're running carts, as they are called here at Kay, asking for folks to fulfill their existing pledges, make new contributions, renew, or come through with an additional gift. This campaign also includes a one-day telethon that will take place on December 18th in conjunction with a group an organization you may be aware of, Operation USA. We are asking KPFK listeners to consider making an end-of-the-year gift. Again, it could be an additional gift, a renewal, a new gift. And they will take as their thank you gift, we will be purchasing medical supplies for the needy as their thank you gift. For instance, an example would be if you made a contribution of, say, $10 a month to KPFK, your thank you gift would be X number of medical supplies for people in the local region. These are going to be going to local health clinics. We're concerned, of course, and so is Operation USA, about the unemployment rate going up in folks who do not have health care. Obviously, these clinics are being inundated. We think this is a good opportunity to give twice if you are going to support KPFK. We also are sending out a direct mail piece. 30,000 pieces are going out to KPFK listeners' quarters, those that need to renew, those that are about to last their support, and we're also asking for additional gifts. We've also increased awareness of our car donation program for the month. It's historically the best time of year to be asking for car donations as we wrap up the calendar year for August. We need people to use that towards their tax purposes. The week of the 15th, we will be doing some phone banking where we can schedule volunteers. Listeners can come in and volunteer. Our LSB is out to volunteer as well. Where we'll be calling folks who have made contributions and have not yet fulfilled their contribution. KPFK, over the last 12 months, has somewhere around $700,000 in unfulfilled claims. If we were able to recover those, obviously we'd be in much better shape. If we're able to recover any of those, we'd be in much better shape. So I highly encourage anybody who would be able to set aside some time. The week of the 15th, we'll be conducting this each and every day that week. I know there's been lots of questions about programming. Of course, an analysis is in order, and I am working with our local LSB program oversight committee and what is left of our interim program council to come up with a concrete process for analyzing our programming and for ultimately implementing new programming or improving current programming. We will be working with these bodies to also include listeners in a town hall environment at least several times a year. And this, once we have these documents that outline the process, we will be able to, again, use the KPFK administration, you know, producers, program director, myself, to implement the process. I'm hoping that we can begin or complete the first stage of assessment of KPFK programming by the end of the first quarter of 2009. That's certainly, in my opinion, feasible, and I think it's definitely necessary. It's been proposed, and arrangements have been made, that we do a all-station meeting about various issues concerning the network in the station. We have made an arrangement for a facility on the 20th of December. Those folks we'd like to invite are LSD members, CAD members, ICC, paid and unpaid staff, Pacifica Radio Archive staff, and other folks who are community leaders who'd like to be involved. Again, the purpose of the all-station meeting, if we feel it's appropriate or if we have a necessary enough time to do so, that would be to address many of the issues that we're talking about before we began with this report. Also, there are quite a few site issues concerning the facilities at KPFK. As an example, the air conditioning units are 30-something years old. Radio stations require 24-hour air conditioning to keep the equipment at the proper temperature so it doesn't overheat and the system doesn't fail and we ultimately come off the air. Air conditioning units and duct system replacement are absolutely necessary, and we're facing several tens of thousands of dollars to use it. I recommend that we bring our operations director, Zuberry Field, put him on the agenda for the next LSE meeting to discuss that specific issue as well as other site management issues, specifically concerning equipment and other things that are going to be a significant cost to KPFK and Pacifica. That's the basic report I have for now. Obviously, there's an infinite number of issues that I'm addressing, and I'm available for questions.
Okay, I have a stack for what we were talking about before, the loan. This is going to be a new stack for the question that you may have for the GM, so please raise your hand anew if you would like to ask the GM a question. Yes, please.
So, what is the value of KPFK building?
That I don't know.
You
know.
Why not?
Talking
about mortgage, why not
anyone? I'm sorry, please raise your hand and I will acknowledge you. He said he doesn't know. That was the question. The gentleman in the back on the flat shirt, please.
We're talking about the process for programming. See, that one of the issues that we're raising the program oversight committee is that, you know, the program council doesn't have any power. You know, how can we raise it, you know, to have you know, another process when those bodies and from the LSE doesn't have any power to do? When they come with the recommendations to the management, the management is going to do whatever they want, like they can do it always. So they're going to choose their friends. So first of all, before anything on that first goal, has to be very clear what power is going to have to body. Because it doesn't make any sense to have anybody that, you know, like the previous program council committee, they spend like hours and hours and hours, you know, analyzing, you know, doing analysis, evaluation, and with the same time, you know, program director decides, you know, that his friend is going to get the cover.
Actually, what I said was that I'm going to involve what is left of the IPC, the PROC, which is the LSC committee overseeing programming, and KPFK, that, which I know you're involved in that process. So I'm saying we're going to further our discussions that we've started last month, and we together, you and I and these bodies together, are going to come up with that process. To be clear, I'm the manager, so I'm assuring you that favoritism will, if it exists, it won't exist with my knowledge, but that we will do everything that we lay out for this process.
Mr. Griffin?
You asked that Dewberry Fields be put on the next LSB agenda to talk about facilities issues. I'd recommend that he present his proposal to the Finance Committee to come with the Finance Committee recommendation, which would expedite because the likelihood would be that his recommendations would be referred to the Finance Committee if the Finance Committee hasn't reviewed them.
Gentleman Blacker.
Yes? I want to just respond to Raphael's question and then add something. In 1976, the assessor assessed the land and building value at just over $500,000. That was 1976. That was the last assessment. My own property has increased in value over 8 times since 1979. So that's roughly the equivalent number of years. And I think that the building value, the building location is more valuable than my location. So if you take at a minimum 8 times, that would be over $4 million. And so the point to be made, I think, I'm not sure if that was Raphael's point, but the point to be made is you put up a $4 million plus dollar piece of property up for a $1 million loan with the risk of it being of not being able to repay the loan because you have no plan. I actually have something to say about whether you take loans out to pay operational expenses. I don't know if now is the right time to do that. I'm not going to take your time to do that. But I'm
okay.
saying
we'll,
that...
We'll get back to the
loan. We'll get back to that loan later.
Thank you.
We're talking about $8 million plus property.
I would say that I've been in real estate for about 20 years, and one thing we all are agreement on is that it's worth a great deal more than the $1 million they're talking about, which I think is your point. Billman in the back in the black right here, and there was someone back there that I bit in the back that I didn't get. Was there?
Sean.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you talking about me?
Yes, sir. Please.
This motion that you're planning to vote on. Postponing the discussion of Tracy's preface to this motion is really questionable. I understand that everybody is concerned that this loan is not happening or shouldn't happen.
I'm sorry. Can we get back to that when we get back to the loan? Right now we're asking questions for the GM.
Yeah.
We're going to come back to that. I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't make that clear. We will come back to that.
Could be, Sean... The people that are left out of this process that really do need to be consulted instead of outside consultants, consulting firms are specific, are the listeners. You can facilitate this by simply asking in through rotation that programmers submit some of their time so that these discussions can take place, the ones that we're having now with appropriate members on the air. This has been done at KPFA. It was done on the 24th, only 1 hour. It was informative, but we need much more, especially in concerning the critical nature of these decisions being made in secret, where decisions and efforts to further put the station in debt, seek funds from inappropriate sources, completely inappropriate sources, such as underfunding. And I'm telling you that you know, it's not going to be right if the station managers do not allow these discussions on air, because right now the staff have total advantage in this regard.
Thank you so much. I'm not sure which one was first. Mr. Sean, you? Sir Sean, you're first.
My name is Sean Abadjan. This is my first time for one of these meetings. I'm a teacher in South Los Angeles. My wife and I contributed $1,000 last year to KPFK, and we're contributing $2,000 this year.
I can't hear you.
Thank you.
Contributed $1,000 last year, and I'm contributing $2,000 next year.
This year.
And they're teachers. And you know what teachers
get paid. My wife doesn't work. This is single income. She's a grad student. So I'm very concerned. My question for you, Sean, is there's a lot of Sean. My concern is that I feel a lot of listeners, including myself, I didn't hear about this until last year. My feeling, and that was just someone who's not getting paid a lot. My concern is that a lot of listeners don't know what's going on. And I would echo what this gentleman said about involving listeners. I think one thing that could be done concretely is through the internet, online, having a process where people are able to come. We might all come to the meeting to conflict, but through the internet, we can. Many of us can get online to add comments and add concerns. And develop, at least get the ideas out there, get the information out there, get people participating in the process, whether it's online polling or other things that could be explored. I would request that would be explored, and also the information from this meeting be posted on the front page of the KPFK website.
Thank you. I just want to address something to you. One of the reasons why this has all come out all of a sudden is because even the board didn't know about this until it kind of was sprung on the board, and now I think it is being spoken. And aren't they able to get the 2008 that Yahoo group, the public?
Could I ask the finance director of Pacifica has been warning us when he's been telling us about this every year. So anybody that's been going to Pacifica board meetings would know that this financial crisis was coming.
Okay.
The finance director is telling us.
Thank you. And Mr. Riaz, and then Mr. Foyer after that. Mr. Riaz,
one question. Do you think the drop of listenership and penetrating listeners is a result of stale programming at KPFK that's sort of like, you know, the chief has been in the particular so long that and would new programming or a different format in terms of how to shop all that? Would that
I'm sorry. Ms. Larkin and Mr. Johnson, please.
Would that be advantageous? Hold on. And the other part is, why in the world that we have a radio station, we have air, that we don't use that as a bony pulpit, that you don't use that as a bony pulpit, to let the listeners know what's going on. Let the listeners know that, you know, all of this $1 million and all of this, you know, I don't want to lose my position at the CNB, so I'm not gonna blow the whistle. That's outrageous for us to be put in that position, because some people want to play chicken and allow the foxes into the cage and do whatever they want to do. That's not cool.
I just want to comment on one of the things you said. The TMB members that were did have some information ahead of time were not allowed through there through because of.
Hey, Nico, this has been going on for years. This has been going on since 2000. You know where people have been compressed.
I think we're all in agreement. The only thing I'm saying is that there were a couple members that were very frustrated because they knew about information that they could not tell the board, and when they told the board was very upset because it hit us from the side, and it hit you guys from the side as well.
Now that you know, why wasn't there a report done on the air to let the listeners know what kind of financial situation is, and what the specific national board and the national office wants to do in trying to raise our station?
Okay, I take your point, though. I think that Mr. Foyer and then the gentleman in the black after that.
Yeah, I'd like to ask our general manager, if he cares to respond, what does he think of this particular motion calling for the managers, the five station managers of the network, to do a mini fund drive to possibly raise this $1 million and therefore, for the moment at least, forego the $1 million issue, not aside from dealing with the more fundamental issues and problems? What do you think of that as a practicality?
Well, I think that as an alternative, it's certainly viable. But my concern is that we are overburdening our listenership as it is with asking for money on it. And I'm concerned that there's only so much you can get out of your 140,000 cum here in Los Angeles. I don't know about the other four stations. So if we ask for it now, will it affect when we're asking for general operating funds instead?
Gentlemen here, the left.
I'm all in favor of a fund to the listenership, but I think that it has to come with a kind of a mea culpa. No, I don't really mean a mea culpa. But it has to come with a laying out of the need of it. Thank you, John. As laying out of the need, of laying out of the times that we're living in, the fact that an enormous slice of younger people have been aroused by Obama and are slowly being discouraged, that there is a real field to mine out of that. Plus, I would say that the comment about COVID was right on point. I'm in contact with a huge number of people. Many people I'm in contact with are no longer contributing to KPFK because the programming is stale, is boring, I turned on this morning to listen deliberately because he's a friend of mine. The thing about Utah Phillips at 6 in the morning. Right after that, there was a financial discussion with Francis Willapay and one of the economists that we heard on KPFK occasionally. The whole thing was so refreshing, it inspired me to come to this meeting. Otherwise, I wasn't going to come because I hear nothing like that. Something focused, something dealing with concrete problems on a vast level that Obama, does regularly. I think that somehow you should prepare this, maybe not for this month, but within a month or two, but really try to get together some concept of programming in some way for people who know something about programming, who are not currently on the board or anything, that in other words, members of the public could actually offer concrete ideas.
Thank you so much. Ms. Well?
I want to follow up more specifically with the question that Israel had.
Obviously, we can't do this in December with the telethon with Operation USA, which I think is a terrific idea. But, for instance, in January, if there was a network-wide, if the GMs came together to do a network-wide, say, one day a week, emergency fund drive, we can raise $1 million. And if we're hearing each other's programs across the network, whenever we have these national broadcasts, we're getting people from different spaces, we reinforce that sense that we are a network. And this whole assessment alone has made it clear that a lot of people who came on board, who were not here during the fight, to get back to the network, don't have that sense of our being part of the Pacifica network. So I'm wondering if it was done in January with some planning amongst all the GMs, because I know we still have these Operation Collective calls, and enlisting help for people in the network, if you think we could carry it off.
I think we can carry it off, but that's the question. Again, my concerns are still the same. Will we suffer the consequences of burnout, donor burnout, donor fatigue, in February? Because of you have to weigh the options and how severe the consequences are. Can we pull it off? Certainly. Will we suffer the effects of that? That's a question that I don't think I can answer.
Well,
I do know that, from my own experience, that we're already well above what 140,000 weekly listeners normally contribute to a public radio station. Well above. Our sister public stations in Southern California have significantly more listenership. And we're raising roughly what the top station, public stations in town are raising with 140,000, when by comparison KPCC has 600,000 listeners. So how much more can you get out of 140,000 in 12 months? How much more support can you get? We're already at 10%. The 10% of your 10% of your listener, weekly listenership, if they contribute, that's the industry standard. Not that Pacifica can't break the mold and bring in more than 10%, because I think all stations are trying to do that, but I'm just saying that we're at that critical stage where I think that we've asked our listeners as much as we can.
Thank you.
Can I ask a follow-up? What would be your alternative to the loan?
Off air funding. Cost reduction, dramatic cost reduction.
Across the network.
Across the network. And reorganizing our I'm actually working on several documents that have various options. I mean, they're just recommendations.
Thanks. Ms. Radford, and then Chris, you'll be next.
Yeah, Sean. A simple question, because I'm confused. We just made some very serious staff cuts, and we were told they were necessary to rescue the station. And from what I've gathered, that's true. Apparently, and I'm still hearing that in spite of these network-wide cuts, we're still heading toward bankruptcy. In your estimation, were the cuts, which I understand total about $350,000 a year to pay, is that sufficient or not sufficient? Because I understand our losses were about $200,000 a year. So that seems to me that those staff cuts should have covered that shortfall. And I'm hearing they do or they don't, and I'm not clear.
Well, the staff cuts at K were made for K. And they weren't made with much perspective on the network.
Okay.
We were without a CFO when those cuts were designed. We were with an ED. Now we're with a CFO and without an ED. I'm saying that the budget for all units needs to be reassessed with the perspective of creating a healthier network, as opposed to isolating all five units, all six units from TRA, and budgeting according to those individual six units as though they were autonomous. I do believe that's how the process took place, and I know that's how it took place.
Thank you for that. A quick follow-up, but basically K would be among the more solvent of those six units given our staff time. Yeah. Is that correct?
I really honestly have not done any assessment of the other units, so
it takes one to solve.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Within,
okay.
If you consider isolated, if you
right.
consider it as part of a network where it's chained to five other units.
I take your point as a good one, but I'm curious now about the pay budget. Thank you.
I think she'll answer to the question you
I
did
can
ask.
Give you the exact number of what the network, where the network is at.
I didn't ask about the network, but I'd love to have those numbers.
Okay. With layoffs, our expenses went up. That's because we have paid severance. That's in short term. The savings will show up later. Secondly, we lost almost $200K on the first drive, $150K at WCFW and $25K at KPFC. We have almost $200K in legal bills which cannot be paid. We have democracy now in arrears $100K on November 20th, and that would be $150K in December. We have the $300,000 in Wells Fargo one of credit debt. We have other vendor debt, unpaid bills at both the national office because of no central services. In other words, KPFK and WDAI have not been paying the central services, which is their tie to the national office. We have had unbudgeted severance yet to be paid if the board decides to do so. In other words, there are people who've been on staff at the national office who are not union staff, for instance, for the first 10, 15, 20 years, like Verna Avery Brown, who we may decide to get severance to. Finally, the national office reserves have been depleted, and monies we have raised have gone to support WBAI unpaid central services and legal bills over the last 3 years, $800K. Is currently owed, and no payments seem likely in the near future. KPFK is $400K in arrears, and we expect no payments till February, so we need a loan. This is the up-to-date. This is what's happening.
Okay. Next on the back will be Chris, and then after Chris, the gentleman will
Thanks, I really appreciate it. My name is Chris, and the reason why I have never been to one of these before, but 2 weeks ago I was at an End the Fed rally, and KPFK was the only media that showed up, so I'm here now for you guys, and thank you for that. What I see going on here is there's a lot of fat that can be cut, as you said, drastic budget cuts, and you mentioned that there were power struggles going on and bureaucracy. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Come on! The goal, and you know, you're losing sight of what this is independent news for the people and the listeners. Mm-hmm. And what the listeners want, am I wrong here? Am I right? They want instead of fund drive. They don't want some loan that's like it's a microcosm of what's going on with the Federal Reserve. Yes, this is nuts. Are you crazy?
Yep.
All right, that's all I have to say. I have to get going. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting in the chat.
I think that people would be willing to contribute more. I don't think we've hit the end, but it's a perceived value. Is that if I stop, I have to change my channel off from KTFK. I've been listening to 24 hours a day practically on my headphones at work. Now I have to turn it off and switch over to KTPC to actually listen to something interesting, or I can go over to C-SPAN or download stuff to my iPod from RadioForAll.net, actual hard-hitting, informative hour, five-hour-long pieces. So there's call-ins every day at KTPC from the people. They can call in and be heard. There's call-ins every day on C-SPAN. In the morning, they can call in. But KPFK only has call-ins on the Aware show, usually when they're talking about, like, the lost jokes of unicorns and things. I'm completely embarrassed by this. I don't think people KPFK stickers anymore. anymore. I don't tell them about it. It's literally embarrassing. And I don't know what's going on. I really don't. And so I go online. You know, this seems a lot. You know, I've recorded content for David Adelson and stuff. The town posse going anywhere I could, leaving my hours. And I just can't believe that this is happening with this amount of intelligence going on. Very confounding, confusing, embarrassing, and I want to do whatever it takes to make this work. This is all we have.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Ms. Watson?
I'm not going to be very popular after putting forward this committee. This candidate's place card, which cost $7,000 last year by one faction of this board, which is when we started having financial problems, when there was a boycott organized.
Oh, please, this is so out of order. This
by the people
of
the board.
Who's out of order?
It was a boycott of the organized by the people of the
board. This is not the main discussion. Excuse me. Mr. Robinson, you're out of order.
And the chair of the LSD in 2003 was the organizer of this, and she called executive sessions and locked all of the
people up. You are out of order. We are going to stay on topic on this, okay?
What's the topic? Organized in the program.
Ms. Watson, you see that gentleman leaving now? We have got these people out here to listen to us and get information and not to sit here and argue and point fingers at people.
Oh,
I would like to stay on topic.
We have the point that was going on by Ms. Adams earlier for WBAI.
Ms. Larkin, your time is up. You do not have the floor. I have the floor. Okay? So now listen, what I want to say is this. These people have come out here. We have finally got a large group of people. We want to deal with this. We want to hear what they have to say about these issues. That's why we're here.
But they don't know about this.
To hear about these issues.
They don't know about this.
We want to stay on topic, okay? If you want to bring that up, you can bring that up. But right now, we're dealing with a GM, and we're going to stay on topic. Okay?
He doesn't know about it either.
Well, you talk to him personally afterwards, and let him know about it.
I have a comment. That pertains to the general manager right now, and a question of clarification of what is
right. I understand what you're saying, but one of the things I'm trying to do is you've spoken about three or four times. Yes. There are people who haven't spoken once. Yes. I would like to at least give them an opportunity to speak before we go to people who have spoken repeatedly, if you don't mind. But I've got you on here, and I've got you under a number two for a second time speaking. So I haven't forgotten you, but I want to get some people who haven't had a chance to speak.
Cool.
Yes, please, madam.
To the manager, I would say we lost a lot of coverage, a lot of people were support due to the fact of the change in procedure. I heard you on the line. Nothing personal. I'm just looking at things across the board, at the issues. This is a listener-sponsored station. I am at a total loss as to why we, the listeners, if I hadn't been involved in tonight, I would never have been aware that this was going on, and it is absolutely the most irresolute thing I've ever heard of. That you would call people, you would get on the line and tell people to buy this product at an exaggerated price and support you, and you wouldn't tell them when you had such a stress issue. It's just incomprehensible. That's number one. Also, whenever we are an alternative radio, we come to KTFK. We don't want the bullshit that we get anyplace else. If we want bullshit, we'll go there. Yeah. When I'm listening to KTFK, I don't give a damn what the ball scores are, okay? That's not why I turn to KTFK. I turned to KPFK because I've had enough of the ball scores and the rest of the bullshit. That's why I turned to KPFK. And we are in touch with each other. We cannot lose that. That is an element of our own insight that we absolutely cannot lose. You have the capability to rebuild and reestablish, to make it larger. So let's do that. Let's let the people be involved. Let it be a place. If we want to get on the damn computer, we can get on the damn computer. I can pull out my cell phone. That's not what I'm talking about with KPFK. We can't lose that. That is our lifeblood. And it's the way we reach people. Everybody doesn't have a cell phone. Everybody doesn't get online. So what do they do? They listen. And do you, I think, that to be perfectly willing to come up with funds, I'll write you a check right now for $50 if you would go in that direction. That's all I have to offer you.
Thank you so much. I would like to remind the good lady and also everybody else that please be as expressive as the language can be and get right to the point. Please watch your language and hear so we can at least be consistent with that. How much time do we have?
I stopped speaking time as soon as the general manager came in because he was allocated 10 minutes and he's gone way beyond that.
He was allocated 20 minutes.
And we got beyond that. Well, I can start the clock again, but I'd like to get a word in edgewise.
I got you. I have you on the stack. You're the second person after the
Yeah.
I do have you. They didn't have you on there, but I was asking about the time, and you don't know how much time it is. That's important.
Well, we'll start again.
We're long.
You know, it's some people who haven't spoken.
Exactly. We have a number of them that haven't spoken, but most of them want
to speak.
Yes, the lady in the pink, right?
Right.
But
9 minutes away from an hour. 3:41
from the last time we did a time check. Alright, so now, there could be a motion to extend time, because right now it sounds seems that we have run past time. I want you all to keep in mind you have agendas in front of you. When you extend time, that means that something else is not going to get addressed at all. And we are also going to come back to the issue of the loan, which I'm sure we have a stack already lined up where people want to speak on that. About 10 people want to speak on that issue. So, yes, I'm sorry.
My point of order, I have several. First off, when it comes to issues of time, we can allocate time from listener comment, which has been used by the listeners, number one. Number two, when a member speaks, I've heard several members say things that I disagreed with or, you know, might have been inappropriate today, but for one member to interrupt that member and then the chair to, you know, because he doesn't like what's being said, silence the member and create an air of cacophony and incomprehensibility in the room, that's what drives people out of the room. I've heard plenty of people say things I disagree with, but that doesn't make me want to leave. What makes me want to leave is when you see it seems like it's a disorganized fight in here.
Well, it wasn't a disorganized fight, but when the chair asked...
Everybody on the floor.
Okay,
well, speaking of personal attacks, this number here was actually making derogatory statements.
I have the floor now. My point was not what she was saying. My point was that time had expired.
She had asked me 2 seconds and you interrupted her.
You never
meet.
You
just stopped
every meeting you ever had. We're not going to go backwards. No, it's a job. We're not going to go backwards now. We're going to move forward.
I would just appreciate the chair would maintain order by letting people say what's on their mind and then correcting them rather than letting someone reach the table next to them and then get another chair. Same problem.
You talking in the room.
I'm trying to talk over the cacophony in this room, sir.
You do not have a floor.
I was recognizing that point of order.
You no longer have a floor. You no longer have a floor.
Thank
you no longer have the floor. Now what we're doing is
there are some more people.
Now I want to hear from this lady. I want to hear from this lady again. But before we do, can we have a moment of silence? Am I? We'll find the moment of silence. So I want to hear from this young lady here.
Yeah.
Then after we hear from her, we are going to talk about extending time.
Watch your hands. Sit down.
All right. Thank you so much.
Please.
Internet era.
Be called.
This lady has the floor.
You don't have 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 the floor.
That's in a Sean, apparently.
You don't have the floor.
You stop talking about
it. Stop talking about it.
Will you accept everyone's
piece of paper? Will you cooperate with mine? You do not have the floor.
Will you only address
my piece of paper? There is a member who needs to be disruptive where you put this disciplinary
act. I don't appreciate this. You're sending out one number for breaches that are going on by several.
Mr. Johnson, if you cannot remain quiet, would you please leave the room?